in Judges chapter 18 this morning. Judges chapter 18. Last week we looked at chapter 17, where we were introduced to an idolatrous man named Micah who lived in the hill country of Ephraim. A young priest named Jonathan was living in Bethlehem, Judah, left home to find work. He was not being supported. The nation was so far from God, they weren't taking care of the priests. And so he left home to find work and ended up in Ephraim, where he was hired by Micah not only to be his personal priest and take care of his gods. He had quite the collection of gods. But he was also able to live there, so he had a place to live, and he was paid to be this man's personal priest. We began looking at how morally bankrupt the individuals are in this story and how Israel was failing. We saw, number one, in chapter 17, verses 1 through 6, there was confusion in the home. And then number two, there was confusion in the ministry, verses 7 through 13, which finished up chapter 17. This morning, let's look at number three. There was confusion in society. There was confusion in society. This is the entire 18th chapter. So let's go ahead and we'll read down through. Let's start out looking at the first 20 verses. How about that? First 20. Now I'm gonna change my mind yet again. First 21 verses. So we need three people to read seven verses. We'll probably go further, but we'll start out with, you gonna take 1 through 7? And Billy, you want 8 through 14? And then we need 15 through 21. 15, all right, back off. All right, go ahead, George.
In those days, there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in. For unto that day, all of their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. And the children of Dan sent of their family 5 men from their coast, men of valor from Zorah and Eshtal, to spy out the land and to search it. For they said unto them, go, search the land. Who, when they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. When they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite, and they turned in thither and said unto him, who brought thee hither? And what makest thou in this place? And what hast thou here? And he said unto them, thus and thus dealeth Micah with me, and hath hired me, and I am his priest. And they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee of God, that we may know whether our way which we shall go be prosperous, or which way we go shall be prosperous. And the priest said unto them, go in peace, before the Lord is your way wherein ye go. When the 5 men departed and came to Laish, and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure, and there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything, and they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man.
Then spies came back to their brethren at Zorah and Eshtel, and their brethren said to them, what is your report? So they said, arise, let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and indeed it is very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go and enter to possess the land. When you go, you will come to a secure people and a large land, for God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth. And 600 men of the family of the Danites went from there, from Zorah and Eshtel, armed with weapons of war. Then they went up and encamped in Kirjath Jearim in Judah. Therefore they called the place Manah Dan to this day. There it is, west of Kirjath Jearim. And they passed from there to the mountains of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Then the 5 men who had gone to spy out the country of Laish answered and said to their brethren, Do you know that there are in these houses an ephod, household idols, a carved image, and a molded image? Now therefore, consider what you should do.
And they turned thitherward and came to the house of the young man the Levite, even unto the house of Micah, and saluted him. And the 600 men appointed with their weapons of war, which were of the children of Dan, stood by the entering of the gate. And the 5 men that went to spy out the land went up, and came in thither, and took the graven image, and the ephod, and the teraphim, and the molten image. And the priest stood in the entering of the gate with the 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war. And these went into Micah's house, and fetched the carved image, the ephod, and the teraphim, and the molten image. Then said the priest unto them, What do ye? And they said unto him, Hold thy peace, lay thine hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us a father and a priest. It is better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family in Israel. And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod, and the teraphim, and the graven image, and went in the midst of the people. So they turned and departed, and put the little ones and the cattle and the carriage before them.
All right, thank the three of you. God, of course, should have been king in Israel, and his law should have been governing the people, but instead they chose to do what was right in their own eyes. And what a tragedy it was. The tribe of Dan was guilty of several sins, as is recorded here in chapter 18. So we're going to look at those. The first one that they were guilty of is covetousness. In verses 1 and 2, I'm not going to reread it. It was already read. But Dan, of course, descended from Jacob's fifth son, who was born to Rachel's handmaid, Bilhah. You can read about that in Genesis 30, verses 1 through 6, if you're interested. The tribe was given choice land, even though it wasn't a very large tribe. You can look at that in Joshua chapter 19. We already went through that. Verses 40 through 48 talks about them receiving that portion of land. But they failed to defeat the enemy and claim their inheritance, Judges chapter 1, verse number 34. So they decided they were going to go north. They didn't seek the counsel of God. Basically what they were saying is, Lord, we're not going to do what you said. We got a better idea. We're going to head north. So they actually went to the northernmost part of Canaan. And of course, the way they obtained the land was not righteous by any means. So they relocated. They coveted someone else's land, and they violently took it. So God's sovereign will was not a part of their thinking. The elders of Israel, of course, should have come and stopped the tribe of Dan from doing what they were about to do, but they didn't, because there was darkness in the land, and it's a tragedy what ended up happening is they abandoned God's assigned place and went north to kill innocent people and steal their land. Now, if God had directed him to do that, if that was his perfect plan and will, that's one thing, but they went against his plan and purpose, and so then it became murder. Second sin that the tribe of Dan was guilty of is ungodly counsel. Ungodly counsel. The 5 spies noticed that Jonathan didn't speak. He didn't sound like a man from Ephraim. He had a different dialect. It's like we have somebody come down here from Brooklyn. They sound a little different, don't they? Mm-hmm. Or maybe somebody from Jersey. What do you think, Bill?
Yeah.
I remember when I was stationed at Fort Meade when I was in the Air Force, ended up on an Army post. That's kind of disheartening, you know, when you join the Air Force, you end up on an Army post. But I worked at NSA, so it really didn't matter. I had about, I think there were 50-50, 50% civilians, 50% military back in those days. And I remember that some guy said, Where are you from in the Midwest? I said, How'd you know I was from the Midwest? Your accent. I said, Midwesterners don't have an accent. But we do. Now, I've been away since I was 18, so I guess I still have, the kids tell me there are certain words I say that still linger from the days of growing up there in Milwaukee. But they recognize that this man, Jonathan, this so-called priest, was not from Ephraim. And they ask him, well, why in the world would a Levitical priest have a home in Ephraim? And he told them he was hired to do a certain job. He was responsible for these gods. And he was Micah's personal priest. That didn't... I was thinking maybe when I get too old to pastor here, one of you could hire me as your personal pastor. But I think I probably need you more than you would need me at that point. And then, if you notice, if you go down to verse number 5, after he explained who he was, they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God. Now, really? They totally abandoned God's sovereign will, and they're going to head north and steal somebody's land, and they meet this priest who's not really a priest, and they said, hey, because it's pretty obvious the guy was a priest in a household that was filled with false idols. Like God is going to offer some kind of advice to a man who is doing his own thing, going his own way and worshiping false gods. Now, this might sound ludicrous to us, but don't we often do the very same thing? We're not really walking with God. We're not seeking his counsel. We're not in the Word of God. Maybe we're in church, but we're not really actively seeking to know him more intimately. We're not really desirous of knowing his will. We spend minutes, if any time at all, in the Word of God. But then we think that we can just all of a sudden seek the counsel of God about something or another, and God is then obligated to direct our path. Now, he wants to, of course, and he loves us, and he will forgive us if we ask him to, and we can be restored to fellowship, but we don't see anything about that here. There's no mention of Jonathan the priest seeking God's counsel. And certainly the Danites should have sought the Lord before even making the trip. So they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. Are we going to have a successful journey? And remember, priest Jonathan was a hireling. He was not a shepherd. He was not a godly man. He was a hireling. He was in it for the money and the money alone. So what did he do? What any hireling would do, what hirelings do today that are in the ministry, he told them exactly what they wanted to hear. And the priest said unto them, go in peace, because the Lord is your way wherein ye go. Basically, he was saying, you all are under the eye of God. So he lied to him. He lied to him. The tribe of Dan should have consulted the high priest. They obviously didn't. And if they did, the high priest wasn't walking with God, which many, of course, were not at this time. They really rejected the will of God by refusing to stay where God put them. Certainly, God had not revealed anything to them. Third sin of the tribe of Dan, breaking and entering, robbery and intimidation. Breaking and entering, robbery and intimidation. And for this, we're going to skip ahead. We're going to come back, but we're going to skip ahead to verses 14 through 26. So, Miss Betty, if you were to read 22 to 26, that would be helpful.
Okay. And when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men that were in the houses near to Micah's house were gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they cried unto the children of Dan, and they turned their faces and said unto Micah, What aileth thee, that thou comest with such a company? And he said, Ye have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, and ye are gone away. And what have I more? And what is this that ye say unto me? What aileth thee? 31 more?
Down through 26.
And the children of Dan said unto him, Let not thy voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows run upon thee, and thou lose thy life with the lives of thy household. And the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back into his house.
All right, thank you much. So on their way to capture Laish, which is also called Leshem, L-E-S-H-E-M, Joshua 19, verse 47, so it's known by both names, Laish and Leshem. The people of Dan stopped at Micah's house to check out the collection of gods that the five spies had found there in the house. And, of course, they were told about these gods, and they were valuable, of course. The armed men stood at the gate, 600 men, and the five spies who knew Jonathan the priest invaded the shrine and stole the gods. And of course, you had carved images, you had the ephod, which the high priest was supposed to have, and basically it was just another god that was made into a form, and the teraphim, which is plural household gods, and then molten image would be metal images. So they had a shrine made up of all kinds of different gods. It was quite a collection. Jonathan was shocked when the five spies came back to the gate and had all this stuff with them. He said, uh-oh, got a little situation here. He was taken back by it. But that didn't last very long because he soon became a party to the theft by accepting a better job. Again, he was a hireling, so he received a better offer. They said, hey, would you rather be the priest of just one little household, or you want to be the priest of a tribe? How about that? And so he got kind of happy. He is filled with joy because he's in the chips now. He's going to have all this money. So he totally abandoned Micah. And it's interesting to note, by the way, if you're going to worship these gods, okay, you got this shrine, you got all these gods. It would seem to me that the gods could have protected themselves from being stolen. I mean, if they're gods, but they were scarfed up and carried off. Because, of course, they're nothing but objects. And yet, these folk were worshiping these objects. And again, before we get too hard on them, we may not have statues in our houses or in our yards. There are some religions that do have statues and stuff in their houses and yards and on their walls, various images. But we often have gods in our lives that separate us from God himself. Things and people that we put before God. So they arrived and he decided he was going to go with him. He was pleased with his new opportunity. And so they took off. They put the women and the children in the forefront. There were 600 men plus women and children. They always traveled first because when an army was attacked, it was normally from the rear. And so they put the kids and the women up front. Micah sometime later discovered that his shrine was stolen. And so he gathered up some neighbor folk and chased after him. And of course, if you look again at verse number 22, and when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men that were in the houses near to Micah. His neighbors were gathered together and overtook the children of Dan, and they cried unto the children of Dan, and Dan turned their faces and said unto Micah, "What's your problem? What's the matter with you?" That's basically what they said. "What's your problem?" And he said, "You've taken away my gods, which I made, and you took my personal priest." Oh, man. Can't get any crazier, can it? "And ye are gone away. What have I more? What do I have left? You've taken everything. What is this that you say unto me? What? Why you ask me what's the matter with me? You know what's the matter with me. You stole my stuff and you took my priest." And children of Dan said unto him, "Let not thy voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows fall upon thee and thou lose thy life with the lives of thy household." They said, "You better be quiet, get out of here, because if you don't, you're all going to die." I don't think that was very nice. So Micah and his group, of course, had no chance against 600 men, armed men. And so they went back home. Micah asked a very sad and tragic question. What else do I have? Religion without the true and living God is useless and empty, isn't it? There are multitudes that kind of add religion to their lives like a tail on a kite and think they've got something there. But is God pleased with just religion? There are those that truly believe, even some that claim to know Christ, that say as long as someone is sincere, it really doesn't matter. We're all going down different roads. We're going to get to the same place. So the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and the Muslims and the Hindus and all these, as long as they're sincere in their belief, they're gonna make it to heaven. When Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." In the book of Acts, we read, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So we, of course, know that Christ is the only way. All other religions are false. All other religions offer no hope whatsoever. And, of course, there is no salvation in those other religions. Warren Wiersbe said this, and I quote, "Idolaters worship gods they can carry, but Christians worship a God who carries them." End of quote. Big difference. Big difference. In Isaiah chapter 46, in verses 1 through 7, we read, "Bel," or Baal, "boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy laden. They are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver or save the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity." Talking about Cyrus even taking their gods captive, ended up on beasts and were hauled away. "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb." Basically, Isaiah is saying, it's actually the Lord speaking, idols are helpless. They're worthless. But of course, God is not. God would sustain Israel if they would turn to him. "And even your old age, am I he? To your old age, I am he. And even to hoarheads, your gray heads, will I carry you. I have made, I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me, and make me equal, and compare me that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag, and weigh silver in the balance, and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him. They set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove, yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer nor save him out of his trouble. That's a description of the difference between the one true living God and these false idols made with human hands. Number four, Dan was guilty of violence and murder. Violence and murder. Go back to verse number 7. And the five men departed and came to Laish and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless. Some translations have insecurity. They were secure after the matter of the Zidonians. Some have the Z and S, Sidonians. Quiet and secure, unsuspecting. There was no magistrate in the land because they didn't need one that might put them to shame in anything, that they were far from the Zidonians and had no dealings, no business with any man. So they were a wealthy people. They didn't lack anything. They had a very fertile land. They had no known alliances with any other nations. They didn't owe anybody anything. They were secure in their place without any relationship with any other countries or cities outside of their little region. So they were self-sufficient, doing quite well. The five spies had traveled 100 miles from Zorah north to Laish or Leshem. It was inhabited by the Sidonians, which laid 30 miles east of the Mediterranean Sea. Again, they were not only prosperous, they were peaceful people. And they took care of themselves. They didn't bother anybody, nobody bothered them. The tribe of Dan came with 600 soldiers, and they captured Laish with 600 men, burned the city to the ground, killed everybody in it, and then later rebuilt the city and renamed it Dan, which means he judged, which is interesting. Because in Genesis chapter 49, Jacob was blessing his 12 sons as he was ready to pass on into eternity. And he said this about Dan. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. And so it talks about the serpent-like attitude of Dan and how they basically snuck up on these people in Laish and destroyed them, and they became a tribe seeped in idolatry that continued on all the way into captivity. And if you read the book of Genesis, I believe it's the 7th chapter that lists the tribes, Dan is not there. Why? Because they were idolatrous. They were left off the list. And the two sons of Joseph replaced them, so there were still 12. Pretty sad testimony, isn't it? Verses 27 through 29, they took the things which which Micah had made and the priests which he had and came into Laish unto a people that were quiet and secure. They smote them with the edge of the sword, burnt the city. There was no deliverer because it was far from Zidon. They had no business, no dealings with any man, so they were without anybody that could help. It was in the valley that lieth by Beth-Rehob, and they built a city and dwelt therein, and they called it Dan. This was, the northernmost part of Canaan. It was named after Dan, their father, literally their ancestor, who was born unto Israel. Howbeit, the name of the city was Laish at that time. Then in verses 30, 31, this is the last one, they were guilty of the sin of idolatry. I think we kind of figured that one out, haven't we? Dan was the first in Israel to officially adopt an idolatrous system. That was their religious system. It was idolatrous. They preferred their false religion of images and idols over the house of God in Shiloh. Years later, when the kingdom divided, Jeroboam the first of Israel set up golden calves in the tribe of Dan, which was the far north, and he set up gods in Beersheba, which was in the far south. So he basically covered the entire land and encouraged the land to abandon the true and living God in favor of dead idols. Verse 30, the children of Dan set up the graven or the carved image, Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh. Most translations have Moses. Gershom was the son of Moses. Well, Pastor, why is there Manasseh there then? If you go to the original Hebrew, which I'm not a Hebrew scholar, you'll find a little, what would be our little letter N. When you use that N, it was put there by a scribe later. Why? Well, because they did not want idolatry associated with Moses. But anybody ever hear of Aaron? He kind of got involved in a golden calf incident, did he not? So the scribe must have forgot that story. So when you add that little N, it becomes Manasseh. And so that's why you find Manasseh here in the KJV, the evidently the Septuagint might have it, or in the whatever Hebrew they had, whatever manuscript they had. So if you add N, which is Nun, N-U-N, to the name of Moses, it makes it Manasseh. And they set them up in Micah's graven or carved image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. So to sum it all up, chapter 17 and 18, that little unit, we find in this story the sad truth about the wickedness of the human heart. Deceitful and desperately wicked. We can also see the hopelessness of human society without God. The more that we in the United States of America throw God out of everything, the more and more radically evil we become, to the point, again, of even aborting children, babies, up till birth and beyond. I saw a video of a woman. I'm not sure where it took place. I didn't catch the location. But there was a pro-lifer that was talking to the head of some abortion clinic in some city, not sure where. And she was explaining to this abortion clinic lady that she could, if she so chose, could have an abortion well into the third trimester. The woman said, no way. No, we don't do that here. So the woman picked up her cell phone and called the clinic that this woman worked at and said, I am so-and-so, and I am 32 weeks pregnant. I found out my baby has Downs, and I'd like to get an abortion. Is that possible? She said, it sure is, but it's going to take a couple of weeks before you can, before we can get you in. She said, well, then I'll be 34 weeks. She said, can you still do it? She said, yes, we can. And she had it on speaker, of course, so that woman could hear. So that's how evil we've become. And of course, in some states, children can go to their counselors in school and say, I believe I'm a girl, when they're a boy, and parents are not notified of it. And as a matter of fact, it has become illegal in some places like Minnesota. You cannot deny a child. And of course, a child does not know what they want from day to day, do they? So again, the more a society seeks to rid itself of God, the more we see people turning to other things, because every human being has a God-shaped vacuum in their soul, in their heart. And if they deny God that place in their lives, in their hearts, they're going to turn to all kinds of things to try to fill that void, whether it be drugs, alcohol, promiscuity, you name it. Gambling, drinking, whatever. All sorts of forms of debauchery to try to fill that God-shaped vacuum, which evidently that's what P. Diddy was doing. Many seek idols for peace and purpose in life, but the only place we can find peace and purpose is in Jesus Christ himself and the salvation that he freely offers. All right, questions, comments? We're getting toward the end of Judges. Is that amazing or what? You thought it would never happen, but it's happened. And then we'll skip over Ruth, unless you want to go over Ruth again. It's been a long time. How many of you like to go through Ruth? How many don't care? All right, we're going to skip Ruth, go right to 1 Samuel, okay? As soon as we finish Judges. All right, pray for our church. Pray that God will bring some folk in as we invite. Please be faithful in passing out the. We have those fancy little cards back there that have the gospel on one side and have all the detailed information about the church on the other. Very easy to leave at restaurants and gas stations and whatever. So please take some. I notice they haven't gone down for a long, long time. And if we're not inviting, folk aren't going to come for the most part. We have had some come because of the website. I'm surprised. Every month I get an update on how many have visited the website, how many have asked for information, how many have made calls. And you'd be surprised how many. At least check it out, okay? Pray for our nation. We got an election that's really officially already began in some states. There's early voting, which is ridiculous. Much easier to cheat, which Democrats love to do. Not saying no Republicans cheat. I'm sure they do. But not like the radical left. Israel and Ukraine, law enforcement, pray for our troops. Our missionaries, Hope House, Mark and his health, Rhonda for strength, Rhonda's mom. Bill for his kidneys, blood pressure issues. Mary, her back, she's been delayed 2 weeks. She went to the doctor. They got to check with insurance to see if she can get these shots. She got kind of a trial. She got trial shots with Novocaine. The Novocaine helped, and they knew that the shots, the ultimate shots, would work. Now they're saying, well, we got to make sure the insurance, Medicare or whatever, is going to cover it. So she's shut down for 2 weeks, but it wasn't her back this morning. She was feeling nauseous, and I think her oxygen was messed up too, right? Didn't you say? Because she's been battling a low oxygen. So pray for Mary. She tried. She got down to the bottom of the driveway, so she made a valiant effort. Pray for Rebecca Force's mom, Ruth. I'm going to go Friday afternoon and see her and pray with her. Pray for Ashley Federn and Annadale's niece with cancer. Is there any update on Ashley? No. Pray for Darlene, Gary's sister. I mentioned her already in the situation there. I'm not sure when she's going back to Florida, if she is. Pray for Tammy Riggleman, who needs a kidney. Annadale has a biopsy of her stomach October the 31st. Cole Belt. This was a child that Mary cared for before and after school years ago. He's in his 20s now, has some serious health issues. Pray for Cole. Pray for Tanya that lost her husband. Nancy Jordan has surgery in Morgantown on October the 11th. Barb Miller has knee surgery on September 30th. Is that a replacement? She has that on Monday, September the 30th. Judy Shade is home, and she's only home because they no longer would pay for it, insurance or Medicare or whatever. So she is home, but she is not doing great at all. And her sister lives near, but her sister's having serious health concerns. So I think she has a nephew there as well across the road. Pray for Ruth Fuller in the hospital with a bowel blockage. Hopefully it'll be taken care of with meds. If not, of course, she'll have to go further. Colleen in Florida with her sister had surgery, having some difficulties. Colleen hopes to be back home in November. Okay. Is this our Colleen?
Yes.
You actually heard from Colleen? She doesn't answer me. I guess because I'm such a nasty person. Do I?
She thought she had told you. She said,
told me. I haven't heard from her in 6 months.
She said she could have overlooked. She said, but I thought I meant she meant to tell you.
Oh, okay.
And anyways, I got a text from her because I asked her how she was doing. We missed her. And she texted me back and said that she's sorry that she had mentioned that she thought she had, but. But anyway, she's in Florida helping her sister, which she had surgery, and I think it sounded like she's trying to sell her house down there, too. So she's down there helping her sister. So I'm hoping to be home sometime in November.
Okay. Well, good. I'm glad that. I'm glad she's still around. I've missed her. All right, let's stand together, have a word of prayer. I've been praying for her, as a matter of fact. On a regular, very regular basis, praying that Colleen would come back. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for those that are here in Sunday school. And we thank you for the time we've had in your word. Help us, Lord, to take what we've learned, make application as the Holy Spirit so directs, that we will not fall into the sin of idolatry and covetousness. We ask, Lord, that you would bless our church. Lord, we need families. And Lord, we want to see people saved and lives changed and hope restored and the lives of some who have become hopeless because of what we're seeing all around us. Lord, without the Lord, I can't imagine living in society today without Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would direct in this election, you'd keep folks from cheating. And Lord, we want to have free and fair elections, and whoever wins, wins. But Lord, please... intervene, save our nation, Lord. Raise up leaders that love you and will serve you and represent the people well. Please turn us back to you, Lord, if it's not too late already. We pray, Lord, for law enforcement protection for them and for our troops. We pray you'd bless and use our missionaries that are preaching the gospel around the world. We pray you'd bless Hope House here in town and provide their needs. We pray for those that we called out to you that have physical needs. Some have tests coming up and procedures coming up, surgeries. We pray, Lord, you prepare the hearts of each of these, and Lord, guide the surgeons as they perform the operations. We pray for Gary's sister that, Lord, if it glorify you, you would heal her. We pray for Mary that you would raise her up and heal that back and take care of whatever illness she's battling right now and give Leonard strength as he cares for her. Pray that you would heal Bill's kidneys and blood pressure issues. And Lord, continue to heal Ruth. We thank you for what you've done. It's quite amazing as she's 92 years old and yet, she went through that very, very serious surgery. We pray you would ease any pain she's in today and heal her completely as you so desire. We ask you to bless the coming hour, Lord. We pray that if there's one here lost, that lost sinner would be saved. We pray that you would empower me, Lord. I need your power, your Holy Spirit, for without you, without your presence and power, nothing of eternal significance is going to be accomplished. So, Lord, please use me for your glory. Open our hearts to your word. And we're going to thank you, Lord, for what you do, even in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 10 minutes. Can you believe it? We'll start right on time today.